Welcome to Intellectual Intimacy, where we're having deep conversations with extraordinary people. This is Cabrina McLean, your host, and on this episode, meet Natalie A. Smith, small business owner, entrepreneur, author, and an owner of Human Capital. Not just investing in her HR business, but learning and growing and investing in herself. Her story is incredible. She's going to share something that's going to teach us all a lesson of how she grew as a business owner and as a person. She also has something she's held on to for years that she's going to share with us. Take a listen, and we hope you enjoy. Here's my conversation with Natalie.
First, I want to just really thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. When I created the schedule for the podcast, I realized that I had to change it up because times are different, and my audience was telling me what they wanted. So when I think about you, Natalie Smith, what I really think about the power of Plan B.
Oh, wow, thanks.
Yes. So I think that, you know, a lot of folks will, after, you know, learning what you have to say, they'll get some courage to do some of the changes they need to do to have peace in their lives, right?
Yes.
So, okay. So I just want to start by asking you, what do you do, and what's the name of your business?
I am a HR consultant who supports small to medium-sized businesses with a variety of HR support, and the name of my business is PeopleWise HR.
All right, cool. And then why did you choose HR? What made you choose that industry?
Well, I was a marketing major in college. And at that time, I thought once I get this big special degree that I'll come out and there'll be this big, wonderful job waiting for me. And guess what? That didn't happen. So I did retail management. I had jobs, you know, before I found that career job. I took jobs in retail and interviewed for other marketing jobs. And one of the things I recognized was going through the interview process, I was trying to train myself to do a variety of things, to interview, to have confidence in my delivery. And I used to look in the mirror and kind of, you know, practice the interview questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I enjoyed a component of working in management, which was the hiring of people and working with people and helping them to learn how to do their job really well. I enjoyed that part. And so, you know, when my retail management career winded down after a couple of years, you know, a retail store that I worked at closed, and it was like, okay, time to look for a job. And I ended up getting referred to a recruiting job, working for a temporary agency, hiring folks. And they told me that, you know, this job will be pretty stressful. It's high volume. You'll interview about 50 people a week. But I knew that I liked talking with people and meeting with people and helping them get jobs. And so that is the position that really launched me into human resources.
Oh, that's great. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you.
And you know, I'm just thinking about this. So you definitely have a specialty that will never go away. Everybody will always want HR.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about your clientele, like demographics, with age group, just a little bit about the folks that usually want you to join them.
Sure. And let me first say this, because I did not get a chance to say this in the beginning. I wanted to, one, thank you for having me on your podcast. Two, to give you a shout out, so to speak, for your courage to do this. I know this is something new for you, and it seems to be going really well. So I wanted to just make sure that I got that in there toward the beginning. So to your question, one of the things that I do, or a lot of the things that I do, is customize the services that I offer to my clients. And I have a vast background in human resources. I've touched every component, you know, from, you know, benefits to training, to employee relations, to performance management. I've done strategy, I've built systems, and I've implemented systems. So I've touched every piece of it. Mm. And in working with people over the years in my corporate life, I realized there was a gap. You know, there are a lot of small to medium-sized businesses that have a human resources need, and part of why their businesses couldn't grow was that they did not have the capacity to really build the infrastructure to support the people of their small to medium-sized organizations. Mm-hmm. And I knew that me having a generalist background that is inclusive of spending a lot of time advising and coaching leaders and managers and presidents and owners, I knew that that was something that was needed. So I built my business so that I can customize services. And so my clients range, they are small to medium-sized businesses that have under 100 employees. So some of them have had 5 employees. Some of them have had, you know, over 100 employees. I have a couple of clients that I do advisory work for that are just small business owners. So mm-hmm. we talk a lot about building infrastructure to support their businesses as they grow. Having worked in financial services and, you know, general business for most of my life, one of the things that I observed was that with small businesses, you know, they were challenged with capacity. So most times when a business grows, it doesn't necessarily grow systematically. It may be at a certain level that all of a sudden there's an opportunity that comes and they have to make a big jump. Mm-hmm. So I worked with businesses to encourage them to build the basics of infrastructure so that when those opportunities come about, that they are ready to go with the jump and they have the infrastructure and the support mechanisms to get there. And so they range in company size. They range in industry. Okay. I primarily have a financial services background, but I worked for a financial institution. So I saw all kinds of businesses. I saw nonprofits. I saw real estate. I saw, you know, educational facilities. I saw schools. I saw, you know, the businesses and food industry. But one of the things that I'll say is when it comes to human resources, it's really all about people. And so the services that I offer are adaptable to people versus necessarily an industry. I can learn about your business, which I love learning about business, but the most important thing is understanding people. So I have a wide variety of clientele and folks that I interact with.
Ah, and there we go with HR people-wise. I see. Okay.
Thank you.
You know, this is, like, fascinating. So you have worked in different industries. You were in the financial industry. Can you tell us, like, why did you make the leap from leaving? Because, you know, that's a steady paycheck to to starting your own business, you know? Tell us about that.
Well, I think it was me just getting to a place in my life from a personal perspective where I felt I needed a change. I am very ambitious in the sense that I get bored, so I like to always be challenged, and I like to learn and grow. And even in my corporate career, you know, I think I had steady movement. I always worked for great organizations around great people who allowed me to spread my wings, so to speak, meaning that while I may have had a specific job, they always allowed me outside of the scope of my job to do other things and for me to learn and grow. And those things really kept me motivated. However, I started my business in 2012. I was going to do it as what they call the side hustle. I realized that, hey, you know, I was a single parent at that time. I've been married previously, but I was a single parent for most of my son's life and my daughter's life. And I was bored. I was bored of my job. I've been doing the same thing for quite a while. And I noticed that people were coming to me to ask me lots of questions. And clients and folks that I interacted with would come to me for questions. And so I said, hey, maybe I should do this on the side and make some extra money. And that's really, it started more so as a hobby. And I was really happy when I was doing it. But guess what? What happens to a lot of us when we're trying to do things, right? Some life gets in the way. Yep. You know, whether it be, you know, being a parent or just having too much to do or, you know, your job, your 9-to-5, which pays the bills, you know, so I started it and then I really didn't do much with it because I like my life got in my way and I allowed it to get in my way. So I just put it on the shelf and I went about my life. And in 2016, I had some life-changing events happen. You know, my son who had been at home, you know, was graduating high school and I was about to be an empty nester. I turned 50 in 2016. And I'm the type of person that has learned to be reflective. And so these moments in my life made me kind of take a look at, okay, Natalie, what are you going to do? Because I spent most of my life being focused on being a parent. And, you know, now, Natalie, it's just you, this individual. And, like, who are you and what are you going to do? You know, so I started to think about in my life when I was happy. I loved my job. I had some challenges there. I felt I had grown to a place where I couldn't really advance my career anymore. So I've been in a job for 10 years that pretty much I had set up to really run on its own. Mm-hmm. And wasn't much left there for me to do. And going to my, you know, boss at that time, you know, and talking to him about, you know, it's our corporate structure. Hey, I want to advance. What are the things I need to do? I want to learn, you know, all of the things we do and say at work. You know, I found that after a couple of years, I hadn't gotten anywhere with that. So I thought one day, I said, what was I doing in my life when I was happy?
Okay.
What were the things going on in my life where I was happy? And it made me think back to when I started my business concept, even as the kind of the side thing that it was, I thought it would be. I was like, oh yeah, that. I like almost totally forgotten about it. And I said, you know, I can work on that. And it'll be an additional stream of income. And I had started to kind of do research and just really try to evolve as a person in life, realizing, especially when my son went to college, hey, this 9-to-5 is great, but at the end of the day, does it really pay all the bills? And will I really have everything I need when I retire? So I started thinking about how could I create additional streams of income? And I said, let me dust this business off. And you know, it kind of started from me kind of going through that whole evolution of looking at myself a little bit at that time when I had some life changes going on in my life.
That's really cool. And then you said something really powerful. You said my life got in the way.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of professionals, especially women, we do put everybody and everything ahead of what puts that fire in our belly that, you know, that gets us like really excited. So that was like really powerful. What was the most challenging thing about starting a business?
I think the most challenging thing was myself. Speaking to your point about, you know, deciding to put aside everybody's needs, so to speak, you know, whether it be as women or individuals in general, you know, I was raised to do things my parents told me to do. So you grow up thinking you have to be everything your parents want you to be. And then I got married and I, you know, became a wife and I thought I needed to do everything my husband needed. And then I had I had children. So then it's like, do everything your children need. And for us as women, I think it's a natural thing. And I actually think it's a beautiful thing. That's okay. It's okay that we take the time to dedicate to nurture others. That's what women do, in my opinion. But I think I learned later in my life that there should be a balance to that and that you have to keep part of that individual that you are. And so, you know, in terms of starting the business, really, I had to get out of my own way. And I had to do some of the things that I've tried to do in my life as I've overcome obstacles, to push myself to say, I can do this, it's okay. I had to figure out how to get over the fear. You mentioned courage, how to find the courage to take this leap. Because I'd always lived this planned out life of doing what you should do. And I was about to do something that I had never been an entrepreneur, I never owned a business. So I just really, but I knew that it was fulfilling. And I can say that when I made the decision mentally, I decided one of the critical things I did was I decided that I was going to spend 1 hour a day on myself. And no matter what happened, no matter what life brought, no matter what I saw, what happened along the way, I was going to take an hour each day, no TV, no social media, but to focus on the things that I said I wanted to do around the business. And so my thought was to start with researching. I said, you know what? I'm going to dust this stuff off. I'm going to update the company name, the website, the materials, then think through the strategy and my services. And I'm going to start reaching out to folks that I know that I have relationships with and talk to them about their thoughts around me doing this. Mm-hmm. And you know when you're on the right path because when you kind of find your purpose and your passion, things start to happen really without you doing things. And so once I made that decision and started down that path, I would say, Cabrina, within a couple weeks, opportunities started literally falling in my lap.
As they should.
Yes. And when that happened, it obviously gave me the courage and the that fear went aside. And, you know, it didn't totally go aside, but I just had to kind of tell myself that, you know, at the end of the day, if things did not work, I could always get another job. And, you know, I knew that I'd always been good at getting jobs. So I knew I could always get another job if it didn't work. So that erased the fear of the what if for me. And then I kind of talked to people for about 3-4 months. Business started coming in. But, you know, most of the folks I talked to gave me some really good advice. They said, Natalie, you know, save some money for your expenses. Try to have at least 6 months worth of savings. Try to make sure that you market yourself really well. Try to stay on top of industry changes and build a network and a support system for yourself. And I worked on doing those things while I still had my full-time job. But the difference was in 2016, the difference between 2016 and 2012 was I made myself the priority. Work wasn't a priority. My job wasn't a priority. You know, my kids were pretty self-sufficient. Obviously, you're there, but I made myself a priority. And, you know, I was at my job and I said, you know, while I'm working, I can still do things on the side. And it picked up and I said, I'll do this until my business income equals my work income. So I'll feel comfortable.
That's good advice.
Yeah. You know? I wanted to feel comfortable, and you all do. I mean, you know, when you have the job, let's use it to your advantage. Jobs use us all the time. So I had a shift in my thought process where I figured out, you know what? I've dedicated myself to every job I've had. Now, you know what? I'm going to use this job to my advantage. And so, you know, I started doing things on the side, and that was saving for my 6 months worth of, you know, whatever I needed. And, by August of 2016, I thought I would take the year and do all of this stuff. And by August of 2016, I was there. The next opportunity I got, and most of my opportunities came through referrals in my relationship. I had this opportunity, and that was going to be the opportunity that would make me have to make a decision about staying or going.
Okay.
And I decided that, you know what? This is where I said I needed to be, so it's time to go. And, you know, I gave my notice. My boss didn't like it. You know, it's funny because sometimes when you do things, you do them quietly. And I've always been a really hard worker and a dedicated person to whatever I do. And sometimes people take those things for granted. So, you know, when you, I think that you can be bold, but you can be bold quietly. And, you know, I never stopped doing my job and I never boasted or said what I was doing. I just did what I was doing for me. And I was walking down a path and I was making a way for myself. And we eventually got to a place where, you know, I ended up staying until the end of that year with my company, knowing that I would be working and doing things on the side. But again, the biggest thing of that is that it gave me the opportunity to create that financial cushion I needed for myself so that when I finally cut the cord, I was on stable ground, so to speak. At least I knew that for a little while.
Wow. So thanks for sharing that. And that's another gem you just dropped was be bold quietly.
Yeah,
you know, it's like similar to the quotes you see, like don't let them see your success, just do it, you know.
Yeah, Yes. Make it happen.
Make it happen. And you did. You did. So, you know, you took the leap. You started this business. You started focusing on yourself. And now I see that you, hey, you're advertising your book. Can you tell us about why you wrote the book and the title of it and what it's about, please?
Of course. So the title of my book is The Power of Plan B, Leap Into Your Greatness. And it is really a book about the steps to going through evaluating yourself and I think finding yourself a little bit and getting to a place where you can take your own leap of faith. And I am the type of person that values everything that I have in my life. Every day is a blessing to me. I've learned to enjoy those things about, you know, the world and life, and that's just kind of how I walk. And so when things were working out for me, because these opportunities, you know, I want to say I swear, but the reality is, you know, sometimes it was mind-boggling for me because I just felt like I was walking in all of these blessings and grace. Mm-hmm. And just finally, there's something about when you find this thing that you're supposed to be doing or this path you're supposed to be on or this journey you're supposed to walk in this life in the midst of everything that goes on. And so I've always wanted to write.
Mm-hmm.
My funny story is, and I don't know if it's funny, this is a life story. When I went to college, I wanted to major in journalism. I always wanted to be a writer.
Mm.
And my dad decided to convince me to major in business because he didn't think being a journalist would pay very much, or he didn't think it was a very ethical job. And funny, you know, I say this in this climate we're in right now, very interesting.
Yes.
I went to college and I studied marketing and I did what I thought I should do because that's what my parents told me.
Mm.
And part of this kind of journey and phase I went through in my life was about finding me after
mm-hmm.
all the things that I've done, not that they were bad or horrible things, but just finding myself and who I was and what I needed to be meaningful in the world. I think everyone has a contribution and this walk of life we have is not so much about the things we do or where we go or what we have. It's more so about what you leave in this world, how you help others, and, you know, just sharing something that's meaningful at some point. And mm-hmm. so I wrote The Power of Plan B, Leap Into Your Greatness, which was about things I had learned on my journey to becoming an entrepreneur and a better person, not necessarily for anyone other than myself.
Mm.
And I wanted to leave people with sort of easy things they could do or think about in going through challenges, you know, which is getting over the fear, finding
mm-hmm.
your courage, finding out who you are, having good relationships, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that really helped me in my career and in my personal life. And so I wanted it to be a give back. I wrote it in a simplistic format.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost similar to a workbook, a small mini workbook, because I wanted people to not necessarily focus on my journey, but for them to take my experience and find their own journey and mm-hmm. make their way through their own challenges. So that's why I wrote The Power of Plan B, Leap Into Your Greatness, because I think there is something great in all of us.
Well, you know, when you were talking about that, what I was thinking about was, initially, it's almost like this story was like written for you and you were following each chapter of the story. And then you realize, wait a minute, my life isn't in this book, you know?
And
you started like writing your own chapters. You know, that's what resonates with me right now, you know?
Yes, it is. That's very true. That's definitely very true. You know, I have some stories to tell, and as you know, Cabrina, we went to high school together, so you know, being a little bit more personally, I'm a very private person.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. when I share, I try to share it in a giving way, not
mm-hmm.
necessarily making it about me. But, mm-hmm. you know, this book was a journey about things I've been through in my life. You know, that's the reality of it. And, you know, lots of times people look at you and they say, oh, this person is great and they're always happy and they have this nice, wonderful life. Well, that doesn't just happen,
yep.
you know, and
yep.
I'm the type of person where I've really evolved, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm the type of person that has learned it, you know, I don't dwell on negative things, you know, I have my days like we all do, but mm-hmm. I really try to push my energy into being more of the problem solver, not focusing on the problem, but how do I solve the problem? Or how do I get out of this situation? Mm-hmm. And I had to learn those things because, you know, the reality is the power of Plan B is about options. Having options in life. That's what I mean by Plan B. Mm-hmm. We, I think as individuals, are responsible for creating options in our lives. I learned, and I will say I would thank my parents for this. Dad always taught me to be able to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. And that means being responsible. And look, we all have our days and our moments and things we've done in life, you know. Mm-hmm. When I was in college, you know, I got pregnant. Many people don't know that I got pregnant. Okay. And I had a child. I decided to have a child, and I put her up for adoption. But okay. for many years of my life, I think carrying that to some degree, always wondering what, always left it so that, you know, she would be able to find me. Mm-hmm. However, I've never at that time obviously thought about what technology does for the world, right? So the way yes. in which you find someone now has changed drastically, and I never yes. thought about that. But, you know, when we talk about life changes and evolution, you know, things happen in all of our lives. You know, I had that Absolutely. Situation as a young woman. You know, what do you mm-hmm. do? And I made a certain decision. Yes. You know, sometimes we carry things and we beat ourselves up all of our lives for mistakes that we make. And, you know, I got married at 25. I, you know, got divorced at some point. And it mm-hmm. wasn't so much that it was bad. We were bad or horrible people. It was just that we got married young. Yes. We grew in different directions. And at that time, you don't know how to work through those things. Mm-hmm. So I've had, and there are other things, but the reality is I, like many others, have had traumatic situations in my life. Mm-hmm. And so part of that journey, part of having options was about, you know, learning to cope with the difficult parts of life, learning to move past those hurdles and the disappointments and the hurt and the pain and the fear and the guilt and all the things we carry and go through in life, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, the beautiful part of many of the things in my life is that at this stage, they have come full circle. So mm-hmm. my daughter... I think we're going on about a little over 2 years now. 2 years ago, the day after Thanksgiving, I got an email. And what I didn't say is part of my journey in 2016 when I started the business was a personal journey. You know, again, I mentioned my son was going to college. I turned 50. So I'm like, ooh, next half of your life, what are you going to do?
yes,
and yes. I decided to kind of like figure out who I was beyond what I already knew. And part of that for me was going back to my lineage and wanting to know my African roots. Okay. So I decided to do Ancestry DNA. Okay. And, you know, 2 years ago, that is what led me to finding my daughter. She was, I think, on a similar journey, not necessarily looking for me, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. she did Ancestry DNA and it connected us. And
that's
so
fascinating.
I got this, it is amazing, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I have chills as I talk about this journey because, and I have to share this because I think this is something powerful in my life, but I can tell you and show you in this story the beauty of life. Mm-hmm. So I get this email and this young lady is saying to me, hi, you know, I'm Sierra, and, you know, I did Ancestry DNA, and I think you might be my mom.
Wow.
That was an email. But in that moment, mm-hmm. in that moment when I read that email, the weight of carrying something that I really hadn't talked about, I didn't really think about it a lot. It would come to me mm-hmm. periodically, but the weight of that decision that I made so many years ago just mm-hmm. it came to me, and I felt it lift, and tears came to my eyes because in that email, I knew there was this energy in that moment that made me know that that part of both of us was healed.
Yes, yes, and you were ready for it.
I had always knew it would happen. I just never knew when. I never knew when. I always knew it would. I just never knew when. And so I was ready in that I knew it was my responsibility because I left that door open, and I always wanted it to be open. I just knew that when I was younger, I didn't feel prepared emotionally or any other way to care for a child. And I want, you know, I was raised in a family where I was taught, you know, you got to have a family. You're supposed to have a mom and a dad, and I didn't have that. I beat myself up about that for many years. But in that moment, all of those things were erased, and I just knew that my daughter, this hole got filled up in me. Almost like a hole I didn't know existed. And the beautiful part of the story is, you know, she and I, obviously she wanted to meet. We met and clicked right away. She had no animosity. She was the sweetest. She was the sweetest spirit. No animosity, just, I'm just so glad to know you. And I have to share quickly the story of her parents, the people that raised her.
Okay.
So who are all beautiful people. They remind me of my parents. They're beautiful. Wow. They always told her she was adopted. They always prepared for the day she and I would meet. And when our families joined, because they did, we went to her house, and, you know, we pull up to the house where she was raised, and her parents had balloons outside. My parents were with me, and we all are like crying. And I meet these people that raised her and took care of her all these years. And, you know, her dad says to me, I have waited all of my life for this day. And this thing that I beat myself up about all of my life, her mother says to me, thank you so much for the decision you made, because it has been such a blessing in our lives.
Oh, wow.
And I have to pause for a moment because it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
So it is amazing to know, like, sometimes even in the midst of the horrible things we go through and we do, that you can come out on the other side and it can work out. And so her parents are, like, friends with my parents. It's, like, you know, an extension of our family. And her mother had this photo album ready for me, and she had made it from pictures of every stage of Sierra's life. And she wrote me this beautiful story inside about what a blessing Sierra had been to their lives. And like, there's so much more to it that I can't even tell you, and how they actually got to adopt her. But I wanted to give you a sense of kind of just, it's a real life example of what can be hurtful in the world. It can turn out to be something beautiful, and you can learn and grow from it. And so, you know, when I talk about overcoming obstacles and challenges, they happen, and I get it. And so people can look at me and say, hey, you know, everything's going good. Hey, it hasn't always been good. So when I talk about a journey, journey to finding yourself, a journey to being okay with the mistakes that you make, a journey to figuring out what it is you want to do with your life, you can do it. Like, you can lift yourself up, and, you know, it's having the right relationships and the support systems, and even when you don't have them, because a lot of times all of us don't have those things, but sometimes it's knowing that I learned, one of the hard lessons I had to learn is I can't do everything by myself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sometimes you got to ask for help, and sometimes we have to put our ego, you know, on the shelf, and sometimes you have to say, you know, I need some help. I don't know how to do this. What do I do? What should I do? How can I do it? And so the book is really, when I write in those words, and I didn't put a lot of personal stuff in the book, you know, because that's just not me. I didn't want to make it about me. I wanted to make it about, there's some things that you can do to move past challenges in your life to get to where you want to be on the other side. And on the other side, like in the story I told you about my daughter, is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And I have, like, chills right now. You know, when you were sharing that, I was so engulfed in what you were telling me. I was just like, okay, this is an interview, Cabrina. Focus. That's just so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And you know, everything is on purpose. Like, everything we do, and even the things we consider mistakes, we learn later on, they're meant to be. It's not really, you know. And come on, you know. we don't know. We don't know who we are at 25. I mean, we barely know who we are at 35.
Exactly. Or 40. I didn't figure it out until after 40.
Yes, yes. I can definitely relate to that. And, I mean, what you said, several things that I think a lot of people think, but they don't say out loud. Mm-hmm. And that is, like, we do kind of follow the pattern that other people expect of us. We do that. And sometimes it's, you know, we're actually doing something that's against what we, like, that's detrimental to our, like, well-being, to our peace, you know?
Yes, for sure.
And that burden that you were carrying all those years, every single one of us has something similar, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Everybody has something that they look back and they go, oh my God, you know, and they're hurting themselves for it, you know, whether it's drinking too much and not knowing why, or, you know,
right.
It's trauma that all of us have, you know.
Yes, for sure.
So that was really bold and beautiful for you to share that. And it actually, like, connects to, like, everything that you do. It's like,
yes,
even, like, you know, the pregnancy and, you know, having her and having her adopted. Like, you are a planner. It's like in your DNA, you know?
I think so. Yes, I think planning, problem solving have become areas of expertise for me.
That's great. So, I want some advice from you. If someone is holding on to something really heavy from their past, what advice do you have for them? I mean, you know, that's a general question, and you can take it where you want it to go.
Okay. I think it's a hard thing to answer because it's different for all of us. But one of the things I talk about in the book is finding a vision for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I mean that personally and professionally, but I think for all of us, knowing and finding who we are personally is really important. And it's some hard work because it means you have to look in the mirror. And for me, at times in my life, I had very hurtful things happen as a woman, as a young lady, all the things we all go through, nothing different mm-hmm. from anybody else. But, you know, I had to get to a place to say, Natalie, like, what role do you play in this? And it came down to understanding that sometimes things happen because they happen, but sometimes things happen because we didn't make a decision, or, you know what, we were just not being careful, or whatever the case may be. And I had to be willing, for me, Natalie, I had to be willing to own some of that because I knew that there are a lot of things you can't control in this world, but I knew that I could control me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that really was the key to me finding my journey to a peaceful, happy, purposeful life. Knowing that I can't change a lot of stuff. I can't change my past. I can't mm-hmm. change mistakes. I can't change people or things they may have done to me. But I can change what I do, how I react. And mm-hmm. It was hard because, you know, I had to look back on many things. And even, you know what, that doesn't change. That's sort of an everyday thing, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We got to look at ourselves and say, okay, I'm complaining about something. I don't like the job. I don't mm-hmm. like who I'm in a relationship with. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what can you do to make it different? Because,
exactly.
you know, I knew I didn't want to live in misery. I didn't want to carry around the mental burdens.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't enjoying life. I was doing stuff. And I had mm-hmm. stuff, but I was not happy.
Mm.
And I had to learn that happiness starts with me.
Mm-hmm.
Happiness starts mm-hmm. with me being okay with that person I look at in the mirror. And guess what? None of us are perfect. So I know my strong suits, and I know my things that are not strong suits. But with the things that are not strong, I've learned to create solutions to compensate.
There you go. There you go.
And I think that's really what it's about. It's that hard look of looking in the mirror. And, like, in particular right now, I would say, you know, we're in the midst of a pandemic, something we have never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've had to figure out how to live through this personally, professionally, how to live with sickness and probably death and
mm-hmm.
being scared and being afraid.
And I think we have to, you know, some of us have said, hey, I don't like being in and I can't take it. I need to get out. Some of that is because we can't stand to be with ourselves.
Mm, you are so right about that.
Right?
It's scary for people. It's scary.
It's scary. It's like, whoa, I have to be here with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, can I tell you, I love right now. You know, I hate that there's a pandemic. I hate that people are dying. But I have gotten so much more done. For me, I was able to adjust to this prematurely when I started my business. I had to learn to be at home by myself, you know, not going to a workplace, not being around people. I had to create like a whole new way of thinking and living. But the reality is for some of us, being alone means we got to be with us. And I would, if I could share anything today, I would tell everyone that when you learn to love you, which is a journey, and it's okay if you don't, you can get there, but everyone's valuable and meaningful, and it's just getting to that thing that you're supposed to be doing that will fill up all of those wounds and hurts and pains.
Yes.
Some of us are faced with having to do that, and I think that it's an important journey to take, because otherwise we continue to, I think, live a lot for ourselves. Say all the things we do, the job, the work, the kids, whatever we do sometimes that fills up our time also fills up our holes. And I learned to fill my holes without anything else. And it's been, can I tell you, it's been so freeing and fulfilling and amazing that it makes me look at life through a whole different lens, which gets me on the other side of what I was saying, which is I focus on the positive and how to get through stuff. Things are going to happen no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, we have the pandemic. We have so many things going on in this world, and we often worry and, you know, what can we do? What about this? And what about what's going on socially? What about what's going on politically? And the reality is, at the end of the day, from my perspective, you have to focus on what you have control over.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. You're, you know, all, everything that you shared, what I'm thinking about is it takes a person at first has the courage to know that if it doesn't work out, it's going to be okay.
Yes.
You know, the other thing that resonated with me is you, I don't know if you were ever this way, but you sure are probably here now where, you know, it's, you have to not care what people think in order, right? And that's a journey, you know. I know at one time in my life I had to get there. You know, you got to get to a point where you don't care what other people think, you know.
Yes, yes. Or to a point where it doesn't bother you as much. I'm a total people pleaser. I I'm a Virgo, so I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I don't know people, but I'm a Virgo. We love and we care and we want to take care of everybody. We want to fix everything. We want to make the world. It's kumbaya for me.
Yes.
And you know, the way my parents raised me, I'm a people pleaser. I do what my parents say. I do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm a loving, caring person. And I would say that the need to care what people think comes from some insecurities in yourself. And so the journey, the looking yourself in the mirror, the filling the holes that you have without other things, I think helps to bring that into balance. And that is also part of my journey. I had to, you know, I grew up not necessarily liking myself. You know, and again, people look at the exterior and they think, ooh, but you never know what's going on inside of a person.
Exactly.
So even the person that has a great, wonderful story, you should always ask them, how are you doing?
Exactly.
You know, because you just never know. A lot of us know how to put up a facade. And for many years, I learned how to put up a facade, but I was dying inside. And so part of my journey about in terms of finding myself was also coming to terms with who I was as a person. I just didn't know me. And I didn't know how to embrace maybe things people joked about, you know. For example, you know, I always had acne in high school, so I was always very self-conscious. At a time in your life when everybody's looking at you and you're coming into your own, I had really bad acne, so it always made me insecure. And I never wanted to look people in the face. I couldn't look in, you know, people. I couldn't look myself in the mirror. So that started at a very young age for me. I was always very shy. My parents were very conservative, so they raised me like, you know, I couldn't do a lot of stuff.
Yes, yes.
And so when I began to live life, it was when I went away to school and my parents weren't around, and don't tell them, but I think I already told them, right? Sorry, Mom and Dad. But, you know, I had to experience life coming from a naive perspective. And so you learn some hard lessons. And so I had to kind of, like, not beat myself up about things, but learn to say, you know, Natalie, you didn't know, or maybe some people took advantage, or just now that you know, do things differently because we can shift and change. And you have to understand that you'll never be happy trying to please other people.
You can't be. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll live a miserable existence. And even now I have to condition myself to not always care, because the reality is I do care. Like, you care, but you want to make sure you make a good impression, those types of things. But it can't be to the point where it's detrimental to my well-being. And I've learned to find balance in most things in my life. And I think that's critical, right? Because life is never going to be perfect. Nothing will ever be totally smooth from here until the end of whatever time we live in.
Yes.
It's a learning to adjust to what life brings to you. It's learning to find a balance. I know when to push myself. I know when to fall back. I know when to, you know, just not take on some responsibility. So sometimes it's, you know, I'm the person, I love to do everything, you know, anyone asks, but sometimes you have to say no. So it's learning to balance your life and all of the things around you so that you can have that peace of mind and really embrace and enjoy life itself.
I got it. I'm going to ask you something that might get a little deep, but so with all of this change, you know, would you consider yourself, like, do you like to control things, or have you let go of control? Because a lot of this means letting go a lot of stuff.
That's an interesting question. I would say that I've learned to let go, but I've also taken on some more control. So I think I'm the type of person where I think I either went too far on one end of the spectrum. Either I gave too much or I gave too little in terms of of the control. And so that's part of what I mean by the balance. I've learned to control some things in my life, in the sense that I know I have boundaries. So I've learned not to let unhealthy people in my life
move.
You know, sometimes we try to keep them around and we think we can fix them, we think we can grow. And these are, like, you know, it could be family, friends, or relationships. I've learned to manage relationships, you know, a lot better in my life. Now that I know them myself and I don't care so much about what people think, I've just learned to manage things in a way in which I keep myself at peace. And I know some behaviors and some things are not always healthy for me, so I'm likely not to have them around. Doesn't mean we can't be friends or we might not be associates. It just means I'm going to limit the interaction to some degree. So I've had to control those types of things. And then I think, you know, we all do things that keep us safe. And so sometimes keeping ourselves safe is not is controlling things to some degree where it's not healthy for us. So again, I would say it's about finding balance. And that's an everyday journey. To me, in my opinion, it's an everyday thing. Let's take the COVID situation, right? We have to control, you know, what we do. And it's very hard because you might want to go out. Summer, you want to do things, but we have to control our behavior. We can't get caught up in the emotions of, you know, being locked in or feeling confined and then doing something that's not healthy for us.
Yes, you're right.
You know, so, and it happens in our relationships. Sometimes we, you know, are in relationships we shouldn't be in because we want to fix other people. And again, you know, I go back to remember to control what you have control over. We don't have control over other people.
We don't. Yeah, we don't. And you know, with social media, a lot of folks think that they can control other people with their, like, their thoughts and telling them what to post and tell. So that's interesting you said that. You know, as we're closing out, you know, of course, if it's something else you want to add, I want you to share it. But I want to make sure that we know how to get your book. And we know how to reach you. So how can we get a copy of your book?
You can get a copy of my book from Amazon. Just look up The Power of Plan B, Leap Into Your Greatness by Natalie Smith.
That's fantastic. And then how can we get in contact with you if we have HR needs?
If you have HR needs, you can go to my website, which is peoplewisehr.net, or you can email me at natalie@peoplewisehr.net. I'm also on Instagram, NatTheHRWiz, if you want to connect with me on Instagram, and I'm on LinkedIn under Natalie A. Smith.
Okay. Your email, it was like a jumble in the phone. Can you repeat your email for me again?
Sure. It's natalie@peoplewisehr.net.
That's fantastic. And do you have any final thoughts or advice or anything?
Well, I have always lots of thoughts, as people say. But what I would say is just know that in life, whether it's the past or the present, everyone has the ability to overcome things. You can look in the mirror and love what you see. It's a journey and it's a process, and you just take it one day and one moment at a time. And I want folks to know that regardless of what goes on around us, all the things we see, in particular in these days, the social injustice, the political issues and challenges we face, and just sometimes for some of us, it's just life, right? Making it day to day, whether it's financially or whatever the case may be. Just know that there's another side, and focus your energy on the solutions as best you can. Find someone to help. Find someone to ask for support. Put your energy there versus dwelling on the realities of what's happening around us, because those things will always happen. But you can create a life that is wonderful and peaceful and, you know, wake up in the morning with a smile on your face versus, you know, really dreading what's going on. Because, you know, again, like I said, those things we can't change. But there's light at the end of the tunnel. Every day can be brighter. It's just taking it one step at a time. And sometimes that means taking 15 minutes a day to say and find something positive or uplifting to do for yourself. And I encourage everyone to at least make that commitment to themselves. Start with 15 minutes. You can make it 30 or an hour. But start with 15, no matter what's going on in your day. Stop and find something positive that uplifts you and motivates you, and that will help you get through the rest of the day.
Wow. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
The most powerful thing about you as an HR professional is that you are a human who is resourceful.
Yes. I love it. I love it. And so, wise about people, hence people wise.
There you go. There you go. So,
yes.
You know, I can't thank you enough for sharing your insight. Your transparency was just fantastic. And, you know, I just want to know if you're asked to come back, will you make time for me to come back?
I would love to come back to talk with you, Coach Cabrina, anytime. Oh, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you soon, okay?
You too. Take care.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.